Sir, I just want us to pray for a couple of other people, if you don't mind. One is Nolan, Linda and Dave's boy. He lost a friend this week in a work accident, and that's tough. It's just a tough thing for a young man. Makes you look at life differently, makes you look at your invincibility differently, makes you look at all those things differently. And also another guy that you don't know, called Red Schellenberg, Friday night and early Saturday morning, they lost around 2/3 of their feedstock in a big fire went through their farm. All their livestock was safe, the kids are safe, the family's safe and all that, but they've lost 2/3 of their bales that they bailed and stuff. So it's a huge hit for them. But his wife posted on Facebook, which was wonderful, "Hey, God's still God even on a bad day." You know what I mean? And I thought, I don't know if I'd be that positive. You know what I mean? So I told him we'd pray for him this morning. So let's just do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Nolan. Be with him. Comfort him. Give him strength. If it causes him to reevaluate life issues and things, then we say do it with him, Father. Help him wrestle through what this means for him, what it means for his friend who lost his life. Father, we pray for the family of the young man. Just heart-wrenching. Just be with him. Look after him. Father, we leave that with you. You know all the circumstances. You know everything that happened. Just do what you alone can do by the power of your Spirit. And Father, we also pray for the Schellenbergs and the Perrins on the farm there, all the stuff that they've lost. We thank you, Father, for keeping family and livestock safe. We thank you for that. Thank you that all that's lost is a bunch of basically cultivated weeds. We thank you for that. But Father, the amount of money that represents, the store that represents for their coming here for their cattle, coming into the winter. Father, help them. Thank you for the people who rallied around them and looked after them over the last few days. Continue to bless them. Continue to allow them to feel the arms of people praying for them, lifting them up, lifting up their arms as they grow tired and weary. Look after them, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing to do, to pray to a God who knows and hears and answers and listens. If you've got a Bible, grab hold of it quickly, please. We're not going to be super long this morning, but we will look at some stuff. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, I told you we were going to zip through Ephesians. We're not going to take long to do it. It's homework, if you like, to go and read through the book of Ephesians a bunch of times. There's not many chapters. It's pretty thin. But it's full of hugely weighty stuff. And if you read through it four or five times, I was going to say four or five times a day, that'll scare you. If you read through it four or five times a week, for the next few weeks, it'll be a good thing. It'll just soak in and be a good part of it. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, my version, that version I have here, it says that my version starts with the word once. Anybody else got anything different? And? What? As for you. And as for you, or once. Anybody got anything different than that?
Used to be.
Boom. Used to be. Once, used to be, and, okay, this is what it goes on to say. Once you were dead because of your disobedience, and that's not very comforting, is it? Once you were this way, and you're waiting for, once you were dead because of your disobedience. Now, you might think, well, hang on a minute, that's a bit harsh. Once you were dead, even though you were still breathing, once you were dead, you weren't fully functional as a living human being. Your spirit wasn't alive to God. Once you were closed off to the things of God because of your disobedience and your sin. Now, sin, the S word, is a word that we don't actually use with people anymore because people get offended. But get over it. You might be sitting there thinking, "Hey, well, I wasn't that bad. It's like I'm not Mark, you know. Like I wasn't that bad, you know." But and she still loves him. She's not nice. So I wasn't that bad. But like on our best days, we still screwed up mightily. Like truly, on our best days, we haven't met the mark. We haven't met the standard on our best days. I tried as a kid often, and I sort of tried because I got so fed up with being told off, so fed up with being reamed at, shouted at, slapped around. I said, okay, today I'm gonna make it the whole day. Never made it. Never got there. Could never ever figure it out. And part of the reason was is because of what it says. Now you know this, but we need to be reminded of it. Because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. Now what happens is this, is we say, no, hang on a minute. I'm no worse than anybody else. But that's the point. That's exactly the point. We're no worse than we all fall into this category. Christianity is a level playing field. Somebody asked me once. They were a bit belligerent about it. I was on a panel. It's a great place to sit to get shot at. If you're on a panel anywhere, and somebody says, "So you believe? If I don't believe what you believe," it was in a multi-faith forum. Why I agreed to do it, I have no idea. They said, "So you believe that if I don't believe what you believe, I'm going to hell?" And I went, "We're all going. We're all going to hell." Unless we grab hold of Jesus. We're all going. To me, that's the wonderful thing about Christianity. It's a level playing field. I don't care what you call yourself or what your culture dictates your religion should be. If you don't grab hold of Jesus, there's only one destination. It's a wonderful thought. Right? Woohoo! Gotta grab hold of him. And so I said, "I don't know, you can make up your own mind." I said, "But I know I'm going to hell if I don't grab hold of Jesus. And that's where I stand." And this is what this says. So we're all in the same boat. Because he used to sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. How many people realize that there are, my Granny said, "There's more things between heaven and earth than we're aware of." She used to say that all the time. More things. How many people are aware of that? That there's a spiritual realm out there that people try to tap into in all different ways, and it's there. And people try to get involved in it. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Wow. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. I was born that way. I don't know about you. I was. Nobody had to teach me how to misbehave. It came naturally. I came by it honestly. Through Adam. Right? Out of the womb. I came by it honestly. I was born with the ability to rebel. I was born with the ability to throw tantrums. I was born with the ability to not share. Right? We have to teach kids to share. We have to teach kids to behave. We have to teach. You don't have to teach. There's no schools to sign up to learn. Teach your kid tantrums. Like tantrums 101. Like it's an inbuilt ability. I was born with it. And if we're honest, it's just that as human beings, as we get older, we just get better at disguising our tantrums. We still have them. We call them power plays, or politics, or manipulation. But they're tantrums, right? They're tantrums. We may not pout, "I hate you," but we do exactly the same, right? It's just that we get better at disguising it in things that look socially acceptable. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of the sinful nature that came with us from the womb. I was born that way. There was nothing I can do about it. And you think, yeah, but surely, really? Is it that bad? Gary, you volunteer. Thank you. He's always asked after volunteers. Gary, just stand here. Stick your hands out. See here? In front of you. Put them together. probably never played this game before, have you? Policemen generally do this. See, you might think, well, I'm not too bad a person. I'm all right. I don't do too many bad. But see, like if you thought one bad thing in a day, and you did one bad thing in a day, and you said one bad thing in a day, that would probably make you a glow in the dark saint. Just one, right? I have multiples per minute of those things often. All right, and you think, well, that's okay because I can break out of that. You just break it. I chose you because you've got cuffs. You see, I didn't want to cut your arm. But you see, the thing is, if you keep doing that three times a day, every day, I don't want to waste cotton, but I don't sew.
That's
okay. So I don't really care. Three times a day, every day. That's 4 days. 5 days. 6 days. 7 days. 8 days. 8 days. 9 days. Do you know how many days? You know how many times you do this for from the age of understanding till when you die? We haven't got time. 65,700 times. That's a lot of yarn. Now, the great thing is, now I can grab hold of that. I can lead him wherever I want. I've always wanted to pull him around. And the thing is, our bad habits do that to us, right? They just lead us around. And they get harder and harder to break. The more that you bind them. Three a day, that's all it is. Three little things a day. But now, he's got to go wherever. And it starts to get painful, right? Because I'm going to drag him wherever I want him to go. Now, next week, there's an illusionist who can get you out of this.
Oh,
all right. So if I just leave it like this for the week, then that's good. But you can drag him around, and you can pull him around and make him do whatever you want. And then you think, well, okay, well, surely then, well, I'm screwed. Well, then God comes along and says, no, but it's okay. Because, you see, I have the answer. No. Be calm, relax. It's in a public building, right? I just had a really bad thought about circumcision. Why my brain would go there, I have no idea. So, but then God comes along, because this is the wonderful thing. You see, we think, well, I'm stuck then. But flip back in your Bibles, while I've still got him, to chapter 1 and verse 5. Because this is what it says. This is what it says in chapter 1 and verse 5. I want to read this to you. It's wonderful. Listen. Oh, great. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. God decided. Why? Because he wanted to. I love that. God decided. Well, why did he? Because he wanted to. Well, who gave him permission? No one, because he's God, you dipstick. He's God. He decides. He sets the rules. He sets how this is going to work. Why did he do that? Why did he decide before all of Gary's messing up? Before all of that, why did God decide that one day he would just come along and he just set him free? Why did he decide? Thank you very much. Why did he decide to set him free from something that he couldn't break, even though it started out so small? Well, a wonderful thing is this. As you flip through and you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, this is what it says. If you stay in the verse you had there, this is what it says. It says, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him... What does it say in your Bibles? It gave him
great pleasure.
God did it. Why? Because it pleased him. Because it pleases him to come to human beings who have no hope of setting themselves free and sets them free. It pleases him to do that. It pleases him to do that. My son, he has nieces and nephews. And he's a big strapping lad. He's got a heart like He's got a heart like margarine. It's so soft, right? He's a soft-hearted kid. And so one day, he went out and he bought some Timbits in a box and then went to the post box, the post box outside my daughter's house, lifted up the post box and put it in, like, nobody knew that he'd done it, right? Just put the Timbits in a little box inside the post box. And then on the front of it wrote Summer, which is his niece's name. Just went out, bought it, and did it. And then, so they went to get the mail. My daughter sees this and thinks, I know that's wrong, because my son is the king of snacks, right? Like, he has a snack cupboard. All the grandkids just run right over him to the snack cupboard. It's awesome. So he opened it up, and then they sent him a picture of Summer just holding up the box going like this, right? Now, why did he do that? Because it gave him pleasure. It just gave him pleasure to see that kid going. Didn't please Summer's mum so much because she was full of sugar for hours, but it pleased him to do it. He did it just for the joy of the look on her face. It cost him. It was inconvenient. The thought came to him. It wasn't her birthday. It wasn't any special. He just thought he was going into Tim Hortons. He bought some Timbits and thought, you know what? I'm going to buy some for Summer. And that's what happens with God. It's just so that was Gary was cut free and he just went, yeah, I'm free. That's what gives God the pleasure. When we go, I'm free. I'm free. He set me free. And God goes, boom, that's why I did it. That's why I did it. Because I just wanted to see them walk in freedom. I just wanted to do it. I wanted to be able to do it. And this is the wonderful part. So if you flip through back to Ephesians chapter 2, this is what it says. It starts off so terribly. Once you were dead, once you were like that, you were disobedient, you were dead in your sins according to your natural nature. By your very nature, you are subjected to God's anger. I do not want to take God off. I truly do not want to take him off. If you think it's funny to take God off, read Jeremiah. He's a loving, wonderful, forgiving, gracious God. But he is still the God of the mountain of fire and smoke. He's both. And I do not ever want, I never want to be on the wrong side of him. I never want to be. And then it says this in verse 4. I don't know what your version starts with in verse 4, and we're going to finish with this. But God. But God. Once I was this. Tied up. Absolutely hamstrung, could be led around by the devil, whichever way he wanted me to go, he could take my life and direct it wherever he wanted to go. But God, yes, thank you for the but God moments. Now, God is always with us. You look out the window and you just look at those mountains and think, well, who left those there? God, he did. So God is always around us, but there are times. When the distance between us and God seems closer. They're what I call the but God moments. When he comes crashing into our and we grab hold of him. It's a little bit like the moment where we talked about a few weeks ago where Elijah walks up Mount Carmel and says, hey, listen, if God's God, then let's follow him. If he's not, then it doesn't matter. That's a but God moment. When David walks into the Valley of Elah and he stands in front of the giant and he thinks, okay, big guy, stones, it's a but God moment. I have no hope outside of God. The first guided missile in history. Weapon of mass destruction. He throws it out of his hand in a sling. Just what? It's a but God moment. It's like when Thomas puts his hands. Doesn't actually say that he did it. He just saw them. When Jesus goes to him and says, here's my hands, here's my side, you can touch me and see me. And he goes, my Lord and my God. It's a but God moment that intercedes, comes into your life and changes. And we have those moments when we know that God has come along and in the middle of our normal mundane existence, he comes along and he lifts us.
He comes along and he sets us free. He comes along and he gives us something. Other times he comes and forgives us for things. Other times he sustains us. Other times he encourages us. Sometimes it's a rebuke. But you think, no, hang on. This is a but God moment. It's a but God moment where God comes along and directs the course of your life and makes you make decisions and points you in different directions that your natural leaning would not take you. And it's a but God moment. I once was this, but God came in and changes the landscape forever. It's never the same. And next week we'll start to look a little bit more about what happens when we submit ourselves to that but God moment. I don't know about you. I want more but God moments in my life. I want to live in but God moments. I used to this, but God has done. God has done it. Stand with me, and then we'll pray about this. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that the Bible, this Word of God that you have given us, is full of but God moments. Father, we need more of those as individuals and collectively as your expression of your kingdom here in this valley. We pray that this week we will have but God moments where we're too afraid to invite somebody to an event on Saturday, but God comes in and gives us the courage to invite. Where we're walking and being tied up by habits and behavior that we feel as if we can't control, but God gives us the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. Father, we pray for your grace and mercy on us as individuals and as a congregation, and your grace and mercy on this valley. Father, help us. Please give us more and more and more but God moments. Change our life with them. Change the destiny of our trajectory with them. Let everything about us be different because we've had an encounter with the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.